And welcome back, boys and girls. Tonight we are joined by a very controversial figure, admired and despised. Dr. Kent Hovind is alive and direct. He is probably the most well-known young earth creationist out there, and he is live and direct for all of you. And of course, it is his first time, so give him a very, very warm welcome. Let's bring him in right now. I believe he is patiently waiting out there. Let's bring in Dr. Kent Hovind. Doctor, what's going on?
Hey, laying here relaxing after a long, busy day in Lenox, Alabama.
Very nice. And of course, we also have the co-host, Mr. Mike Hideous, who is also patiently waiting out there. What's going on, Mike?
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. How's it going today? Hi, guys.
Very nice. I'm glad you are also with us here live and direct. Dr. Kent Hovind, way out there, very tired, very outworked, and it's a hot day out there, right, Kent?
We got up to 85, but we're straight north of Pensacola, 70 miles, and we absolutely love it. We're building a Christian camp, Dinosaur Adventureland, and it is a blast. You need to come visit.
My goodness. Tell us about this park that you have created, for those that don't know.
Well, I was a high school science and math teacher for 15 years. I moved to Pensacola 35 years ago, and an article came out in the paper that said dinosaur bones were found in Montana from 80 million years ago. And so I wrote my first ever letter to the editor. I said, no, the Earth is only 6,000 years old. Dinosaurs always lived with man. They just had a different name for them. They called them dragons or something like that. And man killed most of them. And they published my letter and started a war in Pensacola in the newspaper. And I finally was invited to come to the university and do a debate with a professor there who taught evolution. And that led to churches asking me to come. And I traveled all over the world, 37 countries and all 50 states, and preached 900 times a year, defending the Bible as being scientifically correct. And a short answer here. So I make a lot of videos about science in the Bible. And a guy saw my videos 4 years and 3 weeks ago. He called me, said, Kent, your videos changed my life. They're on drdino.com. He said, how can I help your ministry? I said, well, we're trying to get property in Alabama to build a Christian camp. I've been in Pensacola 30 years and I'm landlocked. He said, have you found some? I said, yeah, 140 acres. It's an old gravel pit, but he wants $250,000. He said, all right, I'll buy it. He bought it and gave it to us. I never met the guy, just from watching my videos. So anyway, we're building a science center, museum, theme park. It is really, really fun. We've had visitors from 57 countries and all 50 states. That's an amazing place. 83 people baptized here. We have 10 lakes for fishing, a science center that's incredible, based on the 7 days of creation. All kinds of cool science experiments where the kids get to blow things up and burn things down. And I'm one of those kind of hands-on science teachers.
Yeah, that sounds like fun.
My idea. A kid ought to leave science class with his hair singed and his clothes ripped and saying, wow, that was fun.
My goodness. And of course, Kent, I have to ask. It says you were at the age of 16. So you were 16 when you became a born-again Christian, right?
Correct.
And what led you down that? Was it your brother?
Well, yeah, I was raised Lutheran, Methodist, and Mennonite. And when I was 16, somebody said, Kent, are you going to heaven? Have you been saved? I said, I don't know. I've been baptized, catechized, circumcised, homogenized, pasteurized. What do you got to do? And he said, well, have you ever sinned? I said, man, a whole bunch of times. He said, well, then you're going to hell. I said, come on, isn't God going to put my good against my bad? He said, what judge on earth does that? If you said, look, judge, I only murdered one person. Look at all the people I did not murder. Would he let you off?
Right. No.
So if you've committed one sin, you're in trouble before the God of this universe, who's the judge of the universe. And so my brother had brought me down to stay in the college dorm with him one night. I was a sophomore in high school. He was a sophomore in college. And he went to a Bible study group called the Navigators. And they talked to me and asked me if I was saved. I said, I don't know. Anyway, next morning, we went to a Baptist church there in Bloomington, Illinois. And I walked down the aisle and somebody talked to me and I gave my heart to the Lord, February 9th, 1969.
Wow. And you remember that date?
Oh, man. Yeah, it's my spiritual birthday. The Bible says you have to be born again to go to heaven. So you get born physically from your parents and you get born spiritually from above. And so there's two Kent Hovinds living in this one body and they fight all the time. One of them wants to do everything good and the other one wants to do everything bad. It's only Christians understand that battle.
Understood. And I've seen a number of your videos out there, you debating with all kinds of walks of life. Mm-hmm. And of course, I've seen you doing your own sort of YouTube channel where you assault that poor SpongeBob with a hammer.
Well, YouTube, I never heard of YouTube until a couple of years ago, but it's Kent Hovind Official. And we have 162,000 subscribers. And every Wednesday night, I do Whack an Atheist, like the whack-a-mole game where they stick their head up and you whack it back down. These atheists keep sticking their head up saying the dumbest things, like we all came from a rock and, you know, we're related to mosquitoes. And okay, got to whack that back down. So I've done, I forget how many, probably 30 Whack an Atheist up there on Kent Hovind Official. Yeah. So we use SpongeBob as an example. You have to have a great imagination.
Poor SpongeBob. In
incredible imagination.
Right. You're quite an interesting figure, my friend. You are a young Earth creationist. Tell us exactly what that means.
Well, I think it's a little bit of a misnomer. Young, 6,000 years is not young. It's hard to think about George Washington being president just 200 years ago. I mean, that was a long time ago, you know, and Columbus running around trying to find this place 500 years ago. 6,000 is a long time. Now, 14 billion is pure imagination. The brain can't absorb those kind of numbers. So the Bible teaches clearly that the earth is about 6,000 years old. There are dozens of ways to prove scientifically it cannot be billions of years old. I mean, if I told you the ink pen in my pocket was 4,000 years old, you'd say, come on, Kent, they didn't have plastics until about 70 years ago. Oh, okay. Just with that one fact, you just proved my 4,000 number wrong and limited it down to 70. Now, we still don't know the age of the pen, but I know it's less than 70. And you could probably analyze different parts of it and say they didn't have this or that or the other thing. You probably could get me down within 15 years for the pen. So to say the earth is billions of years old is pure ludicrous. I could easily, with science, get it down to less than millions. And the Bible dates add up to 6,000, and there's no reason to reject that. Everything we see in the world can be explained with a creation, fully formed, fully functioning creation, and a giant flood 4,400 years ago. I mean, how on earth would you explain all the millions of symbiotic relationships where certain animals require certain other animals or certain plants? You know, there's just millions of called symbiosis. I taught biology 15 years. You just cannot explain one evolving. Which evolved first, the male or the female? And what if the first one evolved 20,000 miles away from the first one, the second one?
Right. By the way, Kent, I hate to mention this, but as soon as someone sort of searches your name online, you sort of get this sort of long history with the law.
It's hilarious. They were trying so hard to shut me up because I was doing debates and seminars all over the world on science. I said, look, the Bible is true. Evolution is stupid, dumb, idiotic. They wanted desperately to shut me up. So finally, they sicked the IRS on me. They investigated for 10 years, couldn't find anything wrong. So they came with a SWAT team to our ministry in Pensacola, 15 armed SWAT team members, and arrested me. I said, what am I being arrested for? They said, for structuring. I said, what is that? They said, 5 years ago, you took money out of the bank in amounts less than $10,000. Because one paralegal did a 15-month study on my case. He said, Kent, I can't believe this happened in America. He did a whole series of six hours of video about my case. It's called KentHovindIsInnocent.net. And you can watch it all for yourself. They arrested me for taking our own money out of our own bank in amounts less than $10,000. We were building a bunch of stuff and had a bunch of college students working for me. And the pastor said, if you take out over 10, they're going to think you're a drug dealer. So don't take out over 10. So we take out 9,500. Well, Congress passed a law that said if you take out less than 10,000 twice in one day, you have structured your transactions to evade the reporting requirement. So that's what they arrested me for, is we took out $9,500 once every 2 weeks. Not twice in one day. I didn't even break the dumb structuring law, even though the law is extremely stupid. So people are saying I went to prison for taxes and all. No, it was for structuring. My attorney at trial said, Kent, don't even give a defense. You did nothing wrong. I said, okay. And then the judge told the jury to find me guilty. We said, objection. Well, the jury did find me guilty. And the judge said, well, structuring carries 0 to 6 months. But your crime is worse than rape. I'm enhancing this to 10 years. Give me a 10-year sentence for taking our own money out of our own bank. Google it, structuring. Yeah. I served almost 9 years in federal prison. They moved me 32 times all over the country just to shut me up. But hey, I used it. I wrote 37 books while I was in prison. I got 2 more doctor's degrees, and I led 800 men to the Lord, and I got real tired of being in prison real fast. That's part of my history. Can't help it. Half the Bible's written by guys who went to prison.
Understood.
I guess I'm in good company.
But why did you think you would sort of go heads up with the IRS and win? I mean, I don't like those people either.
It really wasn't with the IRS. It was with the U.S. attorney. The IRS did all the research and said, this guy took my, and the withdrawals from the bank account had happened 5 years earlier. And it was church money for church bills. It's none of their business. It's absolutely insane. Just go to KentHovindIsInnocent.net and watch that. It'll blow your mind. See, this guy went to prison for structuring. It ain't over yet. We're going to file more paperwork.
You're going to fight
this. The case overturned, and they're going to owe me so much money. I'm going to say, you start making zeros, I'll tell you when to quit.
Understood. It's just the IRS. They are ruthless, and when they want their money, well, they're going to get their money somehow. Yeah, they're going to get it somehow.
They didn't lose any money. How can me taking my money out of my bank affect anybody? It wasn't my money. It was church money for church bills.
But just by the basic law, that you just told, you were just saying about not being, if you don't take out $10,000, that's considered, I forget the technical term of it, but I mean, that's the law right there. That's what they would stick to you.
Well, the law says if you take out over 10, the bank has to fill out a form. It's nothing to do with the person. The bank. So people try to evade the bank's reporting requirement by taking out less than 10,000 twice a day. They take out 9,500 a couple times a day, and they'd say, oh, you have structured your transactions to evade the bank's reporting requirement. I don't care if the bank fills out a form on every penny I take out. They can fill out all the dumb forms they want. It's nothing to do with the person. The case is so bizarre. If it hadn't happened to me, I wouldn't believe the story.
Right.
But it happened to Ken Hovind.
Do you think you are being targeted somehow, Kent?
Oh, there's no question I was being targeted. See, in my video number 5, when they came and arrested me, a couple IRS agents came with them. And they said they searched through our ministry headquarters there. We've made a lot of copies of, back then it was videotapes, not DVDs, but they said, get every video number 5 you can find. Because in video number 5, I talk about how evolution is the foundation philosophy behind socialism, Marxism, Nazism, communism, and the IRS. See, the founders of this country said, we hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal. They're endowed by their creator with certain rights. Well, according to evolution, there is no creator, so rights come from the government. That's the foundation philosophy for communism, Marxism. Hitler hated the Bible account of, you got rights that come from God? The founders of this country thought, hey, I got rights that came from God. And you get a bunch of guys like that, they throw the tea in the harbor, start a big war.
Right. Understood. And of course, going back to another one of your run-ins with the law, back in 2002, you were arrested for assault and battery and burglary, and the charges were dropped. Ken, what the hell happened there?
I don't even remember that one. It was so bizarre. We challenged it, and they said, we don't have any evidence of anything. I've never assaulted anybody.
I was just wondering that. You seem like a very calm individual. How did you assault someone?
I didn't. I never have.
Very strange. Yeah.
So you don't recall that case?
What's that now?
You don't recall that situation?
I guess I can't. No, I don't. What was that? Assault and battery. It was dropped right away.
They're
just always trying to find something to shut me up because I'm an independent Baptist preacher who believes everybody should read the book and Bible and do what it says. We don't force that on anybody.
Right.
But that's the foundation of our country, the Bible. I mean, read the founding fathers. They held that book in great reverence, and they said we should read it and do it. Most of them knew it pretty well. And so they gave us a philosophy of government based upon creation. And there have always been people who want to take that away, because it gives the individual freedom.
Understood.
So I covered that. It's still on my video number 5, if you want to get that.
Wait. I'm confused. You're saying that you just mentioned about it takes away people's freedoms, believing in science?
Oh, no. Science has nothing to do with evolution. I love science. Evolution is not science. Evolution is a religion that people believe in. Nobody's ever seen any animal produce anything other than its kind. Every farmer in the world, in the history of the world, in the whole planet, will tell you cows produce cows and dogs produce dogs and corn grows corn. There are no exceptions. But these guys want to believe that if we gave it billions and billions of years, that would change. Okay, you can believe that if you want, but that's not science. No. Where do rights come from? The rights come from the creator. God-given rights. Where do rights come from under communism? Or the government. They get to tell you everything you can do and can't do. So it's a giant difference in philosophy between creation and evolution. So our country started off anyway, founded on the biblical principles of the individuals have right, and government should be limited, very limited. The government's only supposed to be punishing evildoers and providing defense from outside invaders. The government has no authority to do 90% of the things they do. It's not their business. So that's anyway, I cover that on video number 5, and that's what they really arrested me for.
Yeah, I've heard you talk about that before.
They specifically asked for number 5. They stole a whole bunch of them from our ministry there.
Right.
When they raided us.
And Ken, last question that has anything to do with anything personal in your life. Your son, Eric, what's been going on with him? I recall a couple years back, there was some sort of conflict between you two. Has that at all been cleared up? Are you guys okay? No, what's going on?
It's a sad story.
I'm sorry really about that.
Public. I'm trying to help him. You know, I got him started in the ministry, sent him off to Bible college, helped him through all that. He was just a fabulous assistant for our ministry. And when they arrested me in court, he'd already been working with me for like 10 years. You know, I said, well, son, you manage things until I get back. And so he was manager of the ministry there in Pensacola. 5 days later, the trustees contacted him and me in the mail and said, want you to resign. You have no authority. We're going to handle this government fight. Okay. So we both resigned. Let the trustees handle this of the ministry. Well, a couple of years later, Eric started his own ministry, GodQuest, and he, completely without authority, signed everything over to his new ministry. He took over everything, took over all the properties, took over all the museum stuff. Just like I came home from prison. And he said, well, Dad, it's all mine now. I didn't own a pair of socks. I said, you got to be kidding, son. Who gave you this authority? Nobody. So we're still are. I'm 70 miles away, and he's never been here. Five years now.
5 years.
Yeah. He doesn't let me see my own grandkids.
Wow.
I think there's no kind way to say it. He stole everything.
Understood. You know, I'm sorry to bring it up. I was just really curious.
I didn't do anything wrong.
I hate to see that. I just hate to see that. I mean, he hasn't. Will you forgive him?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's one thing. If your son stole your car and said, Dad, would you forgive me? I think you would say, well, sure, son. Now give me back the car.
Sure.
All I want. I said, Eric, you got to use all my stuff for 9 years. You built your own ministry. You got to use my typewriters, my computers, my desks, my everything. I don't want any of your stuff. Just give me back what belongs to the ministry. And we'll have two separate ministries. No problem. I paid $1,500 each.
Jump in there, Michael.
Mr. Hovind, would you consider that a sin, what he did?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I consider it just plain theft. Greed.
And
did that with his dad, too.
As a result of it being a sin, would you consider that when the time comes that he faces his creator, that he will be punished for it?
Absolutely. He's in serious trouble. I think that's why God doesn't bless his ministry. He'll produce really good videos. He's a great speaker, and he was an awesome son and a great assistant for a long time. But he'll produce a video and, you know, 200, 300 people watch it. I do a YouTube every night, Kent Hovind Official. There'll be 6, 10, 15,000, sometimes a million people watch them, you know.
You're quite popular.
I think it's because God is blessing. I try hard not to offend my Heavenly Father. And I pray for Eric. I want him so badly to get this right, but I don't think he can afford to. It's very simple. Give me my stuff back and come be son, you know?
And even during this pandemic, he still hasn't tried to communicate with you. Is that what you're telling?
No, he never answers my texts or letters or calls. And this is the first time I've made it public, and I don't know how much publicity you're going to get, but it's time that everybody knows. I love my son. I'd like to see him get right with God, but he stole everything. Now, he's got a different story.
Sure.
He'll say, Dad, the government seized the properties, and everything left in the properties was if a renter doesn't pay his rent and he leaves or gets kicked out and he leaves his couch behind, you get the couch. Well, this is different. I was in prison and I trusted him to hold everything, and the government got permission to seize the properties, and he raised money with my mailing list, 400 or 100,000 names. Get $400,000 to buy the property back off the government that they stole. But he claims that because all the machinery and the typewriters and the desks and all the equipment and $500,000 worth of inventory, all the shelving, a forklift, a motorhome, all that was left on the property. So it's his now because he bought the property.
Oh, my. You know, Ken, we don't see eye to eye.
With my name to buy it for me to get it back for the ministry.
Right. And Ken, I just got to say, we don't see eye to eye on a lot of things here, but I hate to see that going on with anyone, really. Your son sort of turning his back to you that way. It's kind of cold. That's cold-blooded, Kent.
Well, I've kept it quiet for 5 years. I've been hoping and praying he would do something. So you guys get to be the first to hear the whole story.
I really appreciate that. I didn't even know we would get into this, but I mean, I'm glad we did because, Ken, look what's going on around the world. It's sort of time to let go of a lot of things. And it sounds like you sort of let go of any sort of animosity you had towards your son, but it seems like your son probably needs to forgive and let go of that sort of thing. And I'm not even a religious person, Ken, to be honest with you. But I mean, to me, I have a very close relationship with both my parents. So when I see something like that going on, I just think, oh, damn, that sucks.
I know. I would love to have a close relationship with all of them. My daughter sided with my son. Her wedding's been played 50 times on America's Funniest Home Videos.
Really?
She asked me to do the wedding. Kent Hovind, daughter wedding. Just type that in.
Wow.
It's only 50 seconds long. We had an extremely close family. My wife was 42 years. She sided with him. And so when I came home first night, she said, you're sleeping in that room over there now.
Oof. Oh, no, Kent.
I had to buy back the website, Dr. Dino, for $1,500 off my son.
Jeez.
Said, son, you're not using his creation today. And I built that website when you were 8 years old.
My goodness.
It's such a bizarre story. We're going to
spill really
all the beans in the whole thing and make a quick video and say, look,
jump into
Mike. Respond. Eric, what's your response? I'd love to hear it.
Yeah.
What is your wife's reaction to this?
Yeah.
Well, she divorced me.
Oh, my goodness.
In Florida, you can't stop
and why a divorce. Why did she do that?
They sent her to jail for 9 months, too.
They sent her to jail?
She's the one who went down to the bank to make the withdrawals.
Oh, okay, okay.
Nothing wrong with taking your own money out of your own bank, for heaven's sake. Just go to kenthovindisinnocent.com.
Or .net, okay.
Yeah, don't go to .com. But that was the website the guy had that did it. And somebody, he let it expire and somebody bought it right away. So it's a fake one now. But it's kenthovindisinnocent.net is the real one.
Oof. Pretty yeah, it's heavy stuff.
But the trustees of the ministry are not done yet. There's paperwork going in real soon, maybe tomorrow, to file a suit against the government for what they did. You know, the very first thing you have to have is a verified complaint. Who is claiming I did this anyway? We wrote to the court 3 months ago and said, where's the verified complaint? They wrote back and said, there isn't one. So they missed first base. It's like somebody hits a grand slam and they run around and the other team says, excuse me, you missed first. Okay, run doesn't score. They missed first base and they missed 100 bases on mine. This guy who did their 15-month research, he said, Kent, the government broke 100 laws to put you in prison. Somebody changed the court transcript. The judge clearly said, your crime is worse than rape. 8 people filled out an affidavit that they heard her say that, including a lady who had been raped. He said, I heard the judge say that, and it's gone out of the transcript. This ought to be investigated. Somebody changed the transcript. You just don't change a federal court transcript unless you really want to put somebody away.
Yeah, that's unusual.
Get the truth out.
That is very odd that they did that.
Yeah, a lot of things are odd. Just Google.
But you have evidence of this, though, correct?
Oh, absolutely. We've got all. It's, believe me, it's going to hit the fan here soon.
Wow.
So if I turn up dead mysteriously, it wasn't me, okay?
He's not suicidal, boys.
Happy and content and healthy.
Very nice. But before we get into more of the juicy stuff here, I am curious what your opinion is on, let's say, extraterrestrial life and, I guess, flying saucers, since it's a hot topic now that the Pentagon has sort of acknowledged UFO crafts once again for the mainstream out there.
Well, that's not a topic I get into a lot. My video number 7, question answer, is 5 hours long.
Oh, wow.
DVD number 7 of my seminar series is 18 hours and it's $50 off of drdino.com. But DVD number 7, I addressed that quickly. Somebody said, what do you think about intelligent life on other planets? And I said, man, I taught high school 15 years. There's not much intelligent life on this planet. Anyway,
got that right.
No, I don't think there's any life anyplace else in the universe, because the Bible says Eve is the mother of all living and God made Adam and Eve. And I think the only proven life is right here on Earth. Now, if somebody wants to believe, capital B, believe, i.e. religion, that it's someplace else, that's fine. I think they've had round airplanes like the V-172 or something since World War II, a saucer that flies. So they've had flying saucers for mechanical, nothing mysterious about it.
Sure,
those for 70 years.
Yeah, but those were prototypes. Those weren't actual flying vehicles.
No, but the point is you can get a disc-shaped object to fly. Yeah, I taught physical science 15 years. When kids take tours of our dinosaur adventureland, we make a round airplane out of paper and they fly it. They can't believe it. It flies. But we do all kinds of cool experiments here. But yeah, so as far as I know, is the government doing secret stuff? No question about that. But I don't think there's a life on other planets. Is the point.
Understood. And what about, let's say, like the paranormal? You hear all these individuals out there saying they saw some apparition in the dark. Where are you with that notion, Kent? The paranormal and, let's say, something like like someone being possessed, like a possession. Do you believe in that sort of thing?
Well, there's a whole lot in the Bible about demon possession, and I really don't know. I don't have an answer. I wish I did. It's an interesting topic, but I think as far as people seeing strange, ugly faces in the middle of the night, that might have been Hillary.
I don't know. I didn't expect that, but yeah, you might be right.
It makes sense, doesn't it?
Well, Kent, you got a point. That is a bit of a ghoul-like figure there.
You know, running around with other women is wrong, but in Bill's case, I can maybe give him a little slack.
Right. I mean, you can't hate Bill. I mean, we can't put his feet to the fire for, you know, getting some side action there when your wife is Hillary.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry. I had to say it.
I don't believe in murder, but I might think about suicide if I was him.
Okay. My goodness.
As far as the paranormal stuff, I'll leave that for somebody else. I don't know. I don't have an answer.
Well, that's a hell of an answer. I can't. You're a good man.
Well, thank you, sir.
We may not see eye to eye on everything, but you are a good man.
You keep studying, and we will.
I'm trying, though. You know, it's a holy battle inside myself, a spiritual battle. Sometimes I lean towards being much more of an atheist than I do being an open-minded atheist. And all that means is it doesn't mean I'm denying the existence of a God. I just don't have enough evidence to prove to myself personally that there is a God. And that brings me to my next question, Kent. What exactly would be your evidence for a God?
Okay, if you're walking through the woods and you find an arrowhead, what do you immediately conclude? Here it is in a pile of gravel with 10,000 other rocks, and you pick up a rock, but it's a special rock. This is an arrowhead. Everybody with one eye and half a brain would tell you, somebody made that. That's not a normal rock. This has been shaped. I don't know who did it. I don't know when he did it, but somebody did it. If you're walking through the woods and you find a painting hanging on a tree, you immediately conclude there was a painter. Whether you can ever find the guy or not doesn't matter. The painting is the proof of the painter, and the creation is proof of the creator. Now, which creator was it? Is it Allah or Buddha or Jehovah? That's a different set of arguments. But you got to look at the world and say, you know, this place had to have a designer. One cell in your body, and you probably got 100 trillion of them, one cell in your body is more complicated than the space shuttle. There's no possibility of this happening by chance. There had to be a designer. And fortunately, I think the designer left a book behind to tell us who he is and what he wants. I mean, most people that make a complicated piece of equipment, they give some kind of owner's manual or instructions with it. And my coffee pot came with one of those little booklets, how to run the coffee pot. So I think if God is really going to be the judge one day of the universe, he's obligated to tell us what he wants. Where's the rules? What are you supposed to do? And I'm convinced he did that in the Bible. And if your city passes a law that says the speed limit's 40, they're required to do three things. They have to publish it. You can't start giving out tickets for a law nobody knew about. Secondly, they got to post it, you know, put up a sign, 40 mile an hour. And thirdly, they got to preserve it. If somebody knocks the sign down, man, they're right back out there putting up another one. So the God is obligated to publish his law, to post it, and to preserve it. And after studying it for 51 years, I'm convinced that's in the Bible, more specifically the King James Bible. I don't know of a single flaw scientifically or mathematically or historically. That's God's word.
Amazing. And
he told us what he wants. We better read it and do it.
Go ahead, Mike. Get in there.
I have a question. If, with all due respect to your faith, sir, I need to ask you this. What makes you think that? And I say this only because there are multiple religions out there. There is there is science, and there are believers and non-believers. So what makes you believe that this is the right way?
Well, excellent question.
Is it simply a matter of blind faith?
I guess when you teach mathematics, you can get some complicated equations and say, well, if kids come up with all kinds of answers, how do you know which one's right? Well, there are certain rules you got to follow to come to the right answer in any mathematical equation, you know. Follow the please excuse my dear Aunt Sally, put the parentheses first and then the exponents and et cetera. Well, if God is the God of the universe, it's logical that he would, I think just the sheer complexity makes it, there has to be a designer. It's like the arrowhead. That is primitive compared to a single cell in your body or a hair off your head. There has to be a designer. Now, which one? So I have the intuition would say, okay, there's got to be a God. Things like this don't happen. Secondly, I have the personal knowledge. I know him. I've known him for 51 years. He's my heavenly father. I read his book and he speaks to me and is in my spirit and he's led me and protected me and provided for me. And I know him. So I have a personal experience that, but you have to get born into the family to get that. And some people, they don't want that. Okay. We'll see you judgment day. We'll see how that works out for you. But we've all sinned and we need forgiveness.
Essentially, wouldn't that be one's own choice to accept one's own belief in, what am I trying to say here, in blind faith?
Natural. Sure. Well, I wouldn't call it blind faith. I would call it faith. You know, I have faith that when I get in my car and drive on the highway is not going to collapse underneath me.
Well, sure.
In Southern California, don't have that. yours might, but yeah. In Lenox, Alabama, it's probably not going to. So I think it's a faith based on a whole lot of scientific and moral facts. The fact that we have a moral conscience, the fact that we have a sense of right and wrong, how could that happen by evolution, for heaven's sake? If evolution is true, only the ruthless survive. There should be nobody left alive but the most ruthless. Everybody else, the meek and the mild and the sweet and the kind, should all be dead. That's just common. That's what is in the natural world, tooth and claw.
I mean, I would debate that comment about only the ruthless surviving by saying, just give it time, and that might actually happen. But the fact is, I mean, the definition of blind faith is basically believing in something that there is no scientific proof for. So, I simply was asking what...
Okay, how about gravity? You know, give me a jar of gravity. What exactly is gravity? Can you give me a jar of it?
Yeah, well, I mean, I can't do that. And I mean, you know I can't do that. You know, I mean, it's obvious I can't give you a jar of gravity.
Gravity. You believe in it. You can see the effects of it. You can measure the velocity.
I've studied science my whole life. Yeah. I mean, that's how I see things. I mean, there are certain things that people go to school for to learn so that they can prove that within this rock, you know, we are able to determine where this volcano erupted and how many years ago it erupted and you know, the sediments that came forth and so on and so forth. But I mean, did you said you were a science teacher, right?
Yes. I taught 15 years high school, earth science, biology, and physical science.
And you also say that you believe in science still, but at the same time, you separate science with the fact that you believe in creationism, correct?
No, I think all the evidence points to the fact there had to be a creator. It's like finding an arrowhead. It'd be a scientific explanation. I'd say, who made this arrowhead? It had to be made. So here we got a Bible telling us the earth is about 6,000 years old. Okay. Well, forget that for a minute. Let's look up at the sun. I think we'd all agree the sun is burning. They've studied this intently for many centuries and said the sun is burning about 5 million tons of fuel every second. The sun is losing 5 million tons a second. It never stops 24/7. So if we go back in time and add 5 million tons per second to the sun, we're going to start to create a problem. Because the sun's going to be a bigger, but more bigger problem yet is more gravity. They want me to believe these I think there's 9 planets, if you want to call Pluto one, and all these 180 moons now they've discovered. Do you think all these things have been going around this thing while it's on a weight loss program for billions of years, and they still stay in perfect orbits?
Are you asking me that question directly?
What's that?
Are you asking me that question directly?
Okay, yeah, here's the question. Is it logical to believe these planets could stay in perfect orbit around an object that attracts them by gravity, the sun, while the sun is losing mass and therefore losing its gravity? Could that happen for billions of years?
Okay. If you're asking me that question, I would say yes. I mean, the sun is so immense that it's very hard to really take in the size and what energy it's giving off. I mean, it's immense, which leads me to another question to you, which is, what about stars and galaxies in the universe? Do you believe that they are closer than they have been proven to be?
Oh, no, they're way out there. I know we cannot measure. I mean, I taught trigonometry also. You cannot measure the distance to a star using parallax trigonometry beyond about 60 light years. It's just not mathematically possible to measure these distances. Now, the Bible, 17 times in the Bible, it says God stretched out the heavens. If he made the star, first of all, the Bible says he made the earth first, and then he made the stars on day four. So if he made the earth and then he made the stars and stretched them out into their place, Adam and Eve would see the taillights of the stars as they're racing away. And they may be billions of light years away, but a light year is a distance. It's not a time. They could be billions of light years away and still only be 6,000 years old. I mean, that's common sense 101. If they're moving, and we know they're moving, I mean, we assume they're moving based on the red shift, which I think is the only answer.
But how could that be common sense? If something is a billion miles light years away, how can the equivalent of 6,000 years be 6 billion light years away or something like that? I don't see the connection.
Let's say I'm an Olympic runner and I can run the mile in 4 minutes. Okay, so we're going to call every mile is a 4 minute Hovind run. Okay, that's now our measuring stick. A light year is a measuring stick. But what if I could run faster at the beginning? So you look at my distance now and say, how far away is he? Oh, he can run a mile in 4 minutes. Therefore, you know, he must be 18 miles away. So it would make sense, but except for the fact that A, we cannot measure those great distances. B, the Bible clearly says that God stretched out the heavens. And C, nobody knows what light is. We know what it does. We can bend it and refract it and reflect it and split it up in the rainbow. But nobody, give me a jar of light. What on earth is that stuff anyway? And I love studying it. On day one of our science museum, we got all kinds of cool experiments about light and electricity and magnetism. We have a Tesla coil and Van de Graaff generator and all that stuff. But nobody knows what it is.
It's giving off confusion, is it not?
It's a gallon of light weight. I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, but isn't light the reaction of immense power and energy? It's fusion.
Names on it doesn't really give it a physical science description. It's not something you can sink your teeth into. Kind of renaming it is all it's doing. But there's no question there's light. And God claims that he made it. Okay, well, I have no way to prove that or refute that. But light certainly doesn't prove the great distance to the stars. They know they can split light up going through a prism and make rainbows because the speed of light, the red light, is slower than the blue light. The speed of light can be changed. They can slow light down. At Princeton, they slowed light down to 1 mile an hour. Then the next year, they slowed it down to a dead stop. They brought a light pulse to a stop. So if the speed of light is not proven to be consistent on Earth, let alone on the universe, how do you know it's consistent everywhere? But you certainly can't say that you can prove the Earth is billions of years old because you see a star that you think you can measure. I defy anybody to measure the distance to a star beyond 100 light years using parallax trigonometry. Here's the illustration I use. If there's two people 16 inches apart and they're both looking at a dot a mile away to make a triangle, they got two surveyors with transits. They're 16 inches from each other, shoulder to shoulder. They're looking at a dot a mile away. Now, that's a real skinny triangle. Well, in order to measure a light year, you'd have to have two surveyors 16 inches apart looking at a dot 8.3 miles away. That's one light year. To measure 100 light years, you got to have your surveyors shoulder to shoulder, 16 inches apart, both looking at a dot 830 miles away. But they don't know it's 830 miles away. All they know is how far out of parallel are their telescopes. What is the angle that they're making at the base of that triangle? And they want to tell me they can measure accurately 100 light years on something like that when your surveyors, all they know is, hey, my telescope's not exactly parallel with yours. Let's measure this angle. And see, they're getting that 16 inches is 16 light minutes based upon Earth's orbit around the sun. They look at a star in January and look at it again in June and try to calculate the angles from a moving planet, spinning planet, and moving. There's so much mathematical problems with that. That I've had many people say, well, you're right. We don't know the distance. We think it's that far. Okay. Believe whatever you want.
Well, I mean, I really can't, I'm not in a position to really discuss those sort of deep technological, scientific issues. I'm not educated in all completely in that field. But what I really wanted to ask you is the whole idea of dinosaurs being on the planet 6,000 years ago with mankind, early mankind, that is, with early civilization. Why is it that you believe that? What's your belief for that? What's your belief system that is true?
You cut out and I missed about 20 words in the middle there. My belief system about what topic?
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's try it again. What makes you firmly believe that dinosaurs walked the earth between 4,000 and 6,000 years ago with mankind?
Well, okay, first of all, it's a simple biological fact that reptiles never stop growing. Neither do kangaroos. But reptiles never stop growing. So if you take the Bible story, which says people used to live to be 900, Genesis chapter 5, and then you look at all the 400 or 500 legends that have been found from other cultures where they talk about a golden age, they say, oh, yeah, man used to live to be 1,000. Why would so many cultures have a legend of a golden age saying man used to live to be 1,000? Could it be that maybe because it's true, man lived to be 900 according to the Bible? But if a reptile lived to be 900 years old, man, he'd be 60 feet long. They never stop growing. And I cover in my video number 2 of my series what the Garden of Eden was like. You know, why did they live that long? And then video number 3 is all about dinosaurs. They've always lived with man. They're just giant lizards. They have been, Noah probably took them on the ark. He'd take babies, of course. He was smart enough to do that. He's 600 years old. He'd figure that out. Just be sure to get a pink one and a blue one. And after the flood,
but how do you know this?
They spread out.
How do you know this?
Well, how do they know? A lot of things. I'm giving you my theory. You asked what I believe. I believe dinosaurs lived with man. They were probably called dragons or some other name in various cultures. And man killed off most of them. And there could be a few stragglers still alive today, like Loch Ness Monster, Lake Champlain Monster. There have been thousands or tens of thousands of reported sightings of creatures that sure seem to be dinosaurs still around. Generally, in the water, they'd be the hardest ones to exterminate.
Just for the record, the Loch Ness Monster was proven to be completely fake.
Well, 11,000 people swear they've seen it, so you can believe it's completely fake if you want. One photo might have been fake. It doesn't prove the monster is a fake. Come on, think about that.
All right. Well, I kind of find it weird that a creature. I mean, do you believe in the fact that there was a meteor that hit in the Pensacola Peninsula down by Mexico that wiped out the dinosaurs? Do you believe that at all?
No, I think that's a bunch of hocus pocus. There's certainly Earth gets hit by meteors all the time. But did that wipe out the dinosaurs? No, I don't think anything wiped them out. I think man did, but calling them dragons or some other name.
And Kent, you believe dinosaurs were on Noah's Ark, for the record.
Well, yeah, he would probably take babies, like I said. Just be sure to get a pink one and a blue one. I would figure that out. They'd eat a lot less. They poop a lot less. You know, they sleep a lot more. And after the flood, they would live longer to make more babies. And that's why you're bringing them. So it'd be common sense to bring babies of everything. Again, that would be something I cannot prove. That'd be my theory. But I'm not asking everybody to pay for my theory to be taught.
Right, right.
They're demanding that we all pay for their religion of evolution to be taught. I'm getting sick and tired of that. They should go start a private school and teach evolution to those that want to pay and come learn it. Got nothing to do with science and certainly nothing to do with common sense. Nobody's ever seen a dog produce a non-dog. You have to believe such a thing by faith. So it's a religion.
Understood.
Right. You can have your religion, but it's not science.
Right. Understood, Kent. But the question is, why don't we ever find humans and dinosaur fossils together?
Well, first, I think they have. But secondly, nobody's ever found human and chicken fossils together. Does that prove human and chickens did not live at the same time?
Unless you were killed on a chicken farm, yeah, maybe.
Well, we got chickens right here at Dinosaur Adventureland. They're about as dumb as animals you can possibly get and still be able to walk. But we got them. But yet they've never found chicken bones and human bones fossilized together. Does that prove they did not live together? Or does that prove we haven't found all the fossils yet?
Right. Understood. I know where you're going with this. But what about something like the Epic of Gilgamesh, which is it predates Christianity? They have a flood story too.
Noah's kids and grandkids and great-grandkids, they would have been talking about that flood for a long time. They're still talking about it. There are over 300 flood legends that have been discovered in cultures around the world where they talk about a family getting, you know, saved from a flood in a boat full of animals. Now, the details differ, but the concept is the same. There's a website, creationism.org, that has all the so-called, I think there's over 320 now, flood legends. Well, Gilgamesh might have been written down on paper before, you know, the book of Genesis was written by Moses. Moses was collecting his from 10 eyewitness accounts. I cover all that on my video number 7, Q&A. But so just the fact that somebody wrote it down first does not mean they got the right story. Every cop knows that. When you come to an accident, the first guy to tell his story may or may not be right. Might be the fourth guy to have it right.
And I'm so glad you mentioned that, because that's kind of what the Bible is, what we know today as the Bible. It's a copy of a copy of a copy that's been passed around for a very long time. And these were just stories before they were even written down. So just with that logic alone, it's, you know,
if you look at the book of Genesis, there are actually 10 different authors for Genesis. All of them were eyewitnesses. Adam wrote a couple chapters. Noah wrote part of it. Noah's sons wrote part. All you got to do is find the phrase, "These are the generations of," and that's one person signing off and somebody else taking over. And I show all that on my video number 7, Q&A. They can get all my stuff on drdino.com or call 855-BIG-DINO and order my stuff. I used to loan my videos out. I learned right away Baptists especially don't steal, but they do borrow and never return.
Right.
So we sell my stuff, $50 for the whole series. You can watch it, copy it, send it back, get your money back. But meanwhile, I'm holding the $50. Okay.
Right. Kent, you're a good man.
Baptists are eternally secure. They know it. And that you can't trust them with anything.
You're a rather amusing individual, Kent. You're a good man in my book.
Well, thank you, sir.
Indeed. So something like panspermia, which many scientists out there say this is for sure conclusive scientific evidence that life came from space. Your opinion is that is just nonsense.
The pure nonsense. What they're saying is we cannot demonstrate how life got started here, so it must have started somewhere else. Come on. Think about that for 5 minutes. Well, that's not common sense.
That's considered scientific theory based on studies on what they think can most likely be the answer. Don't you agree?
Well, they can call it a scientific theory if they want, but science is, the word science comes from the word seer, Latin word, which means knowledge. What do we know? Most people have agreed for centuries on the definition of science is knowledge gained by observation, experimentation, and testing. There is no science to back up evolution. Nobody's ever seen a dog produce a non-dog. Nobody's ever seen life come from outer space. Nobody's ever seen life come from non-living material. But the evolutionist has to have life get started somehow in a warm little pond or something. And it's just not science. It's a crime that they teach that stuff to kids in science class. Evolution should be taught in a fairy tale class or a religion class. I don't care what people believe, but I resent them calling it science because I love science and I think evolution's the dumbest religion in the world and most dangerous. We tell the kids they're an animal. Then we wonder, man, why do they act like animals? Well, duh, look what you taught them. Jeffrey Dahmer was Jeffrey
animals?
Dahmer got saved watching my videos in prison.
Wait, what was that?
Jeffrey Dahmer killed all them people, you know?
Right.
While he was in prison, we donated a set of videos to his prison where he was. He watched them and gave his heart to the Lord and got saved. His testimony's up on YouTube.
Really?
Jeffrey Dahmer became a Christian because of watching Ken Hovind's videos.
Wow. Now I have to look at that.
You're telling me a guy who killed and ate, 16 people is now forgiven by a God who now lets him into heaven?
God, I don't want to list all your sins. I don't know you at all, but I bet you got a couple.
Hold on a second. I didn't kill any anybody. Jeffrey Dahmer was one of the lowest scumbags on earth. This is a man who had a serious problem.
I agree. And that just shows the great mercy and love of God. He loves all of us. He's willing to save and forgive you.
Okay, well, hang on a second. Stop. Hold on. So if Jeffrey Dahmer, the piece of crap that he was, gets into heaven, how can a person who's an atheist be a sinner and not be accepted into the arms of God if indeed there is a God at the end of life? How could he not be accepted into the arms of God?
Well, salvation is only based upon what Jesus Christ did and you accept it or not. If you burned your neighbor's house down and they said, hey, you owe us $1 million or whatever houses cost in Jersey, okay? And you said, I don't have $1 million. And the judge said, well, you're going to jail. And somebody else comes along and says, hey, I don't want you to go to jail. Here, I'll pay the $1 million. So they write out a check for $1 million and they're standing there holding it. You now have a choice to make. Am I going to take this guy's money and pay this bill and get out of debt? Well, the owner of the house doesn't care where the money comes from. Is the debt paid or not? It could be your money, my money, anybody's money. So God said the wages of sin is death. You commit one sin, you lie one time, you steal one penny, you have to die, according to the Bible. The death penalty, go to hell. But Jesus said, I don't want you to do that. I'll pay for it for you. So he died on the cross and he's standing there holding out the check. Would you accept my payment? And if you don't want to, okay, well, then you're going to hell. Not because he wants you to, He did everything he could to stop it, but you didn't accept the payment. Okay. I've got another program I got to do here soon, but I got a couple more minutes.
Yeah, no doubt. And I do appreciate you being here and spending some time with us. And I know your time is limited and we are running out, so I won't ask you these other questions. And I had so many, many other comparisons to make, especially with someone like, let's say, for an example, let's use Osiris, where he was sort of, there's stories that go back to Osiris from Egypt, as you know, and he was also born a virgin. He was considered the first true king of the people when he, and he also did arise from the grave and then went to heaven.
Yeah, there have been many copycat stories. I don't know. Is this, if I were the devil, and I believe there is a devil, then I would certainly start, you know, copycat stories just to discredit the real story.
Yeah, but
that's
this
common sense. And if you want to ruin a country, you counterfeit currency.
But they all predate Christianity.
But it predates, yeah, exactly.
Again, the first one to tell the story at an accident may or may not have it right. And God is obligated to preserve his words. I don't think you can find any contradictions in the Bible. I bet we could find contradictions in the Osiris story or any other story, internal contradictions or historical contradictions. Nobody's proven any about the Bible.
Well, I mean, we could even go back to Noah's Ark here, where there are plenty of contradictions. Well, I mean, anywhere throughout the Bible, there's plenty of unavoidable contradictions.
Oh, I did a whole video series on that, video number 7, about 40 minutes of. We have a book we sell in our bookstore, Ken Hovind, drdino.com, called The Errors in the King James Bible, where the guy answers 400 of those supposed contradictions. There are none that I'm aware of.
I'm going to
find one.
Let's have
another program on that. I'll take on any atheist you got on that topic.
Yeah, no worries. We'll definitely have you back on here again, and we will talk about some of these things with you, Ken. No problem. Mike, before we wrap up, do you have anything else to ask Dr. Kent Hovind?
Thank you for your time, Dr. Ken. I really appreciate coming on.
Well, thanks for having me. I'll do it again. I love these things. I just want to help. And the Bible is true, and you're going to stand before God one day, and then what's going to happen to you?
Amazing.
You're going to be dead for a really, really long time. Might want to pack a lunch for that trip.
Well, thank you so much, Kent. And go ahead and plug anything you'd like before we let you go.
Sure. If they can get my videos, the Creation Seminar Series, 18 hours for $50. It's drdino.com, or they can call 855-BIG-DINO. I wrote a book while I was in prison unjustly about what the Bible teaches about the future. What's coming next? It's called What on Earth is About to Happen, for Heaven's Sake. You may want to look into that, because we are seeing it happen right before our eyes, exactly what the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation said would happen. It's amazing. That prophecy is nobody else but God could do the future, because he's not locked in time. This is not 2020 in heaven. God is not limited by time, space, or matter. I debated 3 atheists at once at Embry-Riddle University, and one of them asked me, where did God come from? And my 2-minute answer has, somebody told me, 70 million views. They added up from all the different views.
Pretty.
But where did God come
from?
Pretty nuts. 2 minutes long.
Understood, Ken. Well, once again, thank you so much, and we will do this again in the near future, my friend.
That would be great. Thank you so much.
All right, bye-bye. Brother. Take care. Good night.
Thanks very much.
And there he goes, boys and girls. That was Mr. Kent Hovind there. And yes, I'm sure that was torture for you there, Mike.
Honestly, talked about this before, Michael. There's really no way to debate someone
that
believes firmly.
Well, no,
you know, I mean, that's his belief.
Not when they're closed-minded. But then again, that's what he would say to us. You're being closed-minded.
Right. And I try to accept things scientifically. That's been my life.
Well, we both do. I mean, there's a lot of contradictions in the Bible. I mean, let's just be honest here.
Yeah.
And lots of these stories that you read in most Christian Bibles, those are just basically stories that came from a previous source. To be completely honest with all of you out there, these stories have existed before Christ.
And I'm so glad you brought that up, because I couldn't remember some of the stories from what ethnic or religious background that they came from, where there was a child born from a virgin, risen from the dead, ascended to heaven, crucified, etc., etc., etc. And Christianity being the second youngest religion, followed by the youngest being a Muslim or Islam. I mean, they all take from another religious background story.
Pretty much. To be completely honest with you, yeah. There's lots of similarities. Well, there's a lot of similarities, and it's hard to be logical about it. I mean, lots of people out there, they want to purely run on emotion instead of fact.
You know what really irritated me about that conversation was the fact that I was being told that atheists, you're going to pay. You one sin, okay, I stole a piece of gum when I was 4 years old. I'm going to hell for that?
Well, everyone's going to hell, Mike. That's the main objective, really. We are all going to go to hell.
Yeah, but what
a big party.
Jeffrey Dahmer is going to be accepted. He gets a free pass because he gets...
Because he's born again.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, because he's forgiven, Mike. That's where your problem is, Mike. He was forgiven. You need to forgive, Mike. You need to let go of your anger. That's what it is. You need to get rid of your anger there, Mike.
I know. I got such an anger issue.
You got anger issues, Mike. That's what it is. You're just upset. You need to forgive your father and your mother today. Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll feel better.
I got issues, man. Oh, brother.
No, that was fun, though. I like him, though. He's a good guy.
He's a nice guy.
He's a good guy. He's a good guy.
Nice guy. But, you know, at the same time, I kept asking myself after reading that whole Wikipedia article on him, on the controversies of, I mean, God, the guy's been in trouble with the law. Like, I couldn't even remember how many times.
He runs in with the law a lot, yeah. He has a lot of run-ins with the law.
Yeah, and yet he's completely innocent.
Well, aren't they all, Mike?
Go figure.
Everyone's innocent.
But he is a nice guy.
I like him, though.
He's a really nice
man. I like him. Yeah, he's a sweet guy.
Yeah.
He's a sweet guy.
Oh, brother.
And I agree with the chat. They're saying that Mike needs some Kenneth Copeland. He does. He needs the Kenneth Copeland.
Thank you so much. You're torturing me.
He needs it, folks.
Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
He needs it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
You bastards.
He received.
They asked for it.
Your healing. Yes. Now.
Oh. Hallelujah, Mike.
Say it. I take it.
Yeah.
I take it. I have it. It's mine.
It's mine.
I thank you and praise you for it.
The dinovirus.
And I forgive if I have ought against any. And I praise you that I'm well and whole.
That was fun.
According to the word of God.
The word of God.
I'm healed.
Yes. I'm healed now from the coronavirus.
Consider not my own body.
Yes.
Not my own body. I consider not symptoms in my body.
I'm telling you, Mike.
But only that
which I feel
God
healed.
Has promised.
Only that which the word of God.
And by his stripes I was healed. And by his stripes I am healed now. I'm not the sick trying to get healed. I'm the healed, and the devil's trying to give me the flu.
It's trying to give me the flu, Mike.
Or whatever. Whatever else kind of thing he's trying.
That goddamn devil.
That devil's trying to give me the dinosaur flu.
The dino flu.
Yes.
In the sweet
name. You know what else kind of disturbed me, Michael?
Go ahead. Talk to us.
The comment he made about, he kept going into these innuendos about giving tickets and seeing paintings on trees. I mean, I couldn't get like a straight answer because...
Well, that's how it goes. Yeah, there's never a straight answer.
You know, but there was something else that you said. It'll come to me. Of course, I can't remember it now. But
well, it was wonderful, though.
To jump into him.
It was nice, though, that he was here and he opened up about his son. And that was,
which
you know,
a shame.
I really do appreciate that, though. I mean, I wasn't expecting to ask him anything about that or the fact that he was so open and honest about the relationship he has with his son. And again, Mike, I don't have any kids or anything like that. Again, I have a good relationship with both my parents. So, you know, when I hear things
That's
like
great.
That, you know, it does sort of bother me to some extent where it's
sure.
like, where it's like, dude, it's your damn kid. I was going
right.
to say, a bad word there, but we're keeping it friendly tonight.
it's your father, you know, I love my dad, you know,
sure.
I love him dearly. And I know I was brought up by both parents and brought up to respect them. So, I mean, you got to ask yourself if there's something else going on there between him and the son.
You never know.
I mean, did he say the sun has a continually going parish of some sort, like some sort of a church going on?
Yeah, he's doing his own thing. That's why.
Yeah. So I don't know. Who knows? You know, yeah. We don't know. We're just outsiders.
We don't know the extent of those two, their relationship at all. So
yeah,
who knows?
Oh, I know what I wanted to ask you. Did he say that? He had a limited amount of time to do the show today.
Yeah, he had a short amount of time since he's doing a show of his own, I think, right now, or another interview.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so he's kind of a busy man. And, you know, he was supposed to be on here a long time ago, but schedule conflicts and such, that sort of derailed everything. Right, and, of course, the coronavirus. We didn't even get to talk to him about the coronavirus or Kenneth Copeland. But Kent seemed to he seemed to like us, though, even though we are sort of on the opposite ends of the spectrum here.
Yeah. You think so? Because I was wondering if, like, he got off because he didn't like me.
Oh, no, man. He had to get going. He told me early on that he was very limited in time. That's why I was really appreciative of his time here.
Gotcha.
Yeah, good guy, though. I'm glad he was here, and I'm glad he was honest with all of you out there. And again, everyone is welcome to their own opinions and conclusions of everything here. That's sort of the reason why we have this talk show. You don't have to believe me or Mike or the guest, for that matter. It's all on you.
That's right. Yep. It's all your subject matter, your beliefs.
That's right. And Mike, we are coming to a close ourselves here. But Mike, we have good news. Even though we are only on just for a Monday here, we do return Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Nice.
Yeah, we got Leo Zagami on Friday. And of course, we have another special guest on Saturday. And of course, Marshall Masters returns on Mother's Day to give us another Planet X update. And I know you'll have plenty to ask about that, Mike.
Oh, God, I'm going to need an aspirin after tonight and after Saturday.
Yeah, I'm working you tonight, Mike.
You sure are, buddy.
We're breaking you down slowly here.
I'm going to have a nervous breakdown.
Oof. I know. It's been a fun time, man. Though, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad all of you are out there listening in. It's been a fun night,
yes, and thank you.
We will return very soon. Mike, go ahead and plug anything you'd like before we wrap it up.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, as usual, my Facebook account is Hideous Mike, M-Y-K-E. My art and photography website, horribleartwork.com. And last but not least, my music. My music page is Mike, M-Y-K-E, MikeHideous.com. Thanks for listening, everyone, tonight. Thank you, Michael. Had a great time, as usual. Thanks to our guest. That's it. Love you guys.
Very nice. We will talk very soon, Mike. And again, it's always a honor and pleasure to have you here. And for those that don't know, some of the songs that we choose, one of them in particular is one from our very own Mike Hideous here. And that's my favorite track from you, Mike.
Thank you, buddy. And I know what it is.
Yes, you do. A lot of people like that song, by the way.
That's good to know. That's good to know. Yeah, that was my days in spy society.
Believe me, that's my favorite song you've ever made, Mike.
Thank you. I'm kind of partial to it myself.
I mean, I'm telling you, it was completely different from what you do. That's why.
Yeah. And I remember you telling me that, and you're right. It is completely different. But that was the whole idea of Spy Society, to be a very different rock and roll band.
Very awesome. Well, Mike, once again, thank you so much. And I'll talk to you soon here, my friend.
All right, buddy.
All right,
my
brother.
Pleasure. Thanks again for everything. And I'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon, buddy. Take care. Mahalo. And there he goes, boys and girls, the one and only Mike Hideous. And for those who are hardcore listeners out there, if you care to get any sort of bonus content, you can do so by going to patreon.com/Michael Deacon. Oh, it's good. And there's more episodes coming to you very, very shortly. The only reason why you haven't heard me drop any new episodes there is because some people have found some of my comments rather offensive. I know, right? Isn't that insane? It really is. One more time, patreon.com/Michael Deacon. Please subscribe to the YouTube channel. And of course, find us on iTunes, Stitcher, CastBox, and Spotify. International listeners out there, thank you for your support too. Canada, Germany, the UK, Australia, Norway, and Brazil. Oh, I see you out there, no doubt. That was fun, and I hope you will return Friday night, 5:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Oh yes, that's where we will be. And with that said, the world is a mysterious place, and life itself is a mystery. Until next time, good night, everybody.